Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:33 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 19th. Well, I think the big story in here today was that we had a little pop in volatility and it got up to 12 very briefly and then has closed out today at a level lower than it closed yesterday. That's a pretty emphatic move. It is a further iteration of this buy the dip strategies that is being pursued by both passive investing and by quantitative strategies that are running primarily running some form of risk parity. Risk parity means that you hold longs in both bonds and equities and that a decline in one will be offset by an advance in the other. And then the question is how much of one do you hold versus the other in order to have a parity in risk. And of course, because volatility is so low, what it means is that you can have a larger move. You can have a larger position in equities that because it can be influenced by how much lower the volatility is. That is a key risk metric. Of course, there is the additional point that we have very low interest rates still, despite the fact that they have gone up a bit. And we also have massive monetary largesse coming from central banks, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve has stopped adding new money and are even beginning to withdraw some of it starting this month. That lack of new money has been more than made up for by other central banks, and a point I've made on repeated occasions is that capital is both mobile and global, that created in one area, it can stoke bull markets in another. When we consider then, what is it that is going to change this environment? Because if we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see very clearly that the VIX index has been not only trending lower in for much of this year, but that it is historically at very low levels. That the number of times, well, I think it's even more accurate to say that it has spent most of this last 3 or 4 months below 10, and that is an historically rather extraordinary period of time. But what is it that is going to move this market? I think these are very large questions, and I want to highlight some of the moves that we had in emerging markets this morning, but I want to cover this point first. I had an email from a subscriber about the Dow Jones asking whether it is accelerating, and it has certainly done very well this year. I think we also have to put this recent performance since September in context, that the index pulled back by approximately 150 points earlier on today and closed in positive territory. This has been a pretty consistent advance since November, and it has been characterized by ranges and breakouts. Ranges and breakouts, ranges and breakouts. Those ranges have been pretty inert, and those breakouts have been pretty emphatic. We've just had a pretty emphatic breakout. In fact, it's been a more emphatic breakout than any we've seen since the initial move in November following the presidential election. If this trend is going to remain consistent, then we are due a pullback. And that pullback should be somewhere in the region of approximately 500 points. Now, when we look at the weekly chart, we can see where the trend mean is, and this is about 8.5% overextended relative to the trend mean. It's about as much as it was overextended back at the beginning of the year. It didn't quite unwind the entire overextension that time, and it could pull back to 22,000 and still have a progression of higher reaction lows. So it has ample potential in which to consolidate. But if it does not consolidate, well, then we will be moving into acceleration. And acceleration is a trend ending of indeterminate duration, but the more it accelerates, the greater the potential is for a reversionary move, and obviously the more it accelerates, the greater that decline is likely to be. What is it that could create that kind of decline? Well, first off, we know that it was the election of Donald Trump and optimism about the changing the tax code, about allowing companies to bring back their money from overseas, and the potential for a fiscal bump has allowed or been a catalyzing event for investors to plow money back into the stock market. And they really have got the message. Now, because a lot of that good news has already been priced in, it is, and because the tax plan is going to have a torturous time getting through Congress, then there is the potential that it is going to disappoint. Well, if it disappoints, then we're at least going to get a reversion to the mean. But if it fails, well, then that is going to take off a lot of the optimism out of the market, and then people are going to start really focusing on the fact that valuations are a bit overextended in here. So then we could have a somewhat larger pullback. But then we also have to ask the question, what would be the influence that that would have on central bank policy? Because the Federal Reserve is beginning to talk about how they're going to do it, and they plan to reduce the size of their balance sheet this month. But we're going to have either the same Fed governor or a new Fed governor at the beginning of next year, and or at least in the first or second quarters of next year. And then what is the next Fed governor going to do? This could also be a catalyzing event. And what we can certainly say is that we know that passive investing and quantitative strategies have been behind this buy the dips and even buy the intraday dips. The way that we tend to think about the market is buying the dip would be buying a reversion towards the mean, because that is a risk-adjusted way of doing it. But because these are such short-term trading strategies, that they are using a pullback of 150 points as a significant buying opportunity, and that's certainly what we saw in the VIX in here today. Again, an important point to understand is that you can use any number of data sets, and the data sets are proliferating profoundly over the last decade, that we are definitely in the data age, that you can use any data set you wish to decide what to buy or what to sell. But there's only a very small number of things will tell you how much to buy or sell. And those are heavily influenced by volatility, by leverage and liquidity. Well, the leverage is dictated by interest rates. The liquidity is dictated by central bank balance sheets and how much they are pumping into the system. And the volatility is quite inert. So that leaves two wild cards. And we know that interest rates are rising, and we know that inflation is picking up. Everyone who pays their bills knows that inflation is picking up, that wages are beginning to rise and labor force participation is improving, so therefore we know that inflation is picking up. Quite when it makes its way into official statistics is anybody's guess. What we are starting to see, though, is that gold rallied today for the first day in four, and it is firming from above this $1,250 area. We're also seeing a recovery in commodity prices. And certainly in here today, we saw, for example, that even some of the soft commodities are looking more positive. Cocoa is breaking out. The sugar price, for example, is beginning to firm, having pulled back really quite sharply. And coffee prices have also started to look a little bit more positive in here. But when we start to look at the industrial metals, then we have a very clear recovery trajectory. The precious metals are doing a bit better, and oil prices are consolidating in the region of $60. So that is also somewhat inflationary. That also then represents a cautionary medium-term perspective for stock markets. We know that there are potential issues out there, but we're still presented with consistent advances. There is the potential that this market will accelerate before it pulls back. And that means then that, and I think it is also worth remembering that we are 30 years almost to the week since the 1987 crash. And the media is chock full of stories comparing the two. They are almost trying to talk their way into a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. But there isn't a great deal of evidence to support it just yet. We do have this continued prevalence of risk parity strategies and quantitative easing, and we know what the factors are that would influence them. But as an indication of just how important the Wall Street leash effect is, Hong Kong pulled back quite sharply in here today, and it was led lower by property developers. And the I showed the Shanghai Property Index yesterday, and didn't type that particularly well, and it is right in the region of the trend mean. It really does need to bounce, and bounce in a pretty emphatic fashion if this isn't going to break lower and signal that we have had something of a sea change in what's happening with the Chinese market. The property developers are rather susceptible if we are in an environment where the administration is no longer highly supportive of the property market, whereas the banking sector was in mildly positive territory in here today. And I wonder, do they give us valuations for this index? Yes, they do. It's got a P of 7.5 and it yields 3%. So we're certainly not talking about expensive. Then if we look at Malaysia, I click through a large number of markets every day, and Malaysia is the only one I found or that registered with me that is moving to a new reaction low. It is now right in the region of the trend mean, and it needs to rally soon if potential for additional higher to lateral ranging is to be given the benefit of the doubt. The Thai market also pulled back pretty sharply, and that would suggest that we are going to get some pause in consolidation following what has been an impressive breakout from what has been a four-year range. And the New Zealand dollar also pulled back sharply on the new government and some political uncertainty as to what they are planning to do, but it is back in the region of 70 cents. This has been an area of support on a number of occasions over the last year and a half, but every time it got down here, it rallied in an emphatic fashion, and it's going to have to do that again if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. Then when we look at India, for example, the Indian market is continuing to range here around 10,000. It did move to a new all-time high yesterday, and it did pull back a little bit in here today. But I think it is interesting, for example, to look at the Japanese market, because it has got a 24-hour future. And if what we can see here on the Nikkei is that it did form a downside Q reversal, but it rallied well off its low. And the fact that Wall Street has unwound all of its decline suggests that we may get some steadying in here right now. Personally, I've put it in the money stop in. So I am perhaps thinking that I may not be willing to sit through a pullback, considering that I don't exactly know how deep that would be. And I would perhaps maybe rather wish to buy the dip. So I have introduced a stop, and we'll see what happens. But what we also know is that a large number of European markets rallied off their lows in here today. The FTSE 100 was certainly one of those. We have this continued political uncertainty both between the UK and the EU, and within the EU with the Catalonian independence movement. Spain introduced direct control again in here today, so they are actively moving to combat the independence movement. But what we are seeing is that I think the much broader question is, what is that going to contribute to in terms of ECB policy? How likely is it that they are going to be removing their quantitative easing when there are these very large questions that are overhanging? And I just tend to think that it's unlikely. Nevertheless, they obviously want to think about how they're going to begin to remove stimulus. And the Eurostox index is right in the region of its peak from back in May, and that approximated the peak from back in 2015. So there is the potential that we get a little pause here, that we get some pause in consolidation before it breaks successfully above 400. And I think that is equally the case when we look at Wall Street, that we are due a pullback. And that would be a rather benign environment, because it would help to unwind the short-term overbought condition and it would support additional upside. But we cannot rule out the potential that markets accelerate from here. And then that would represent a medium-term advance, a medium-term peak, and a potentially much larger pullback. So I think we are at a rather interesting juncture from the perspective of not just Wall Street, but a significant number of markets, because Wall Street is having, I think, a stronger leash effect now than it has had for quite some time. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.